Well, it's good being God's house. Got a good number tonight. Must not have knew I was ringing. I just want to talk a little bit about a couple of heroes. Esther, I'd want to, if you would, turn to the book of Esther. We're going to read a little bit there. Esther turned out to be a hero. She put her life on the line. This king was very, I guess you'd say, fickle. I don't think he ever knew what he was going to do, but it starts out here in the first chapter, first verse. Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus, this is Ahasuerus which reigned from India even to Ethiopia, over 120 provinces. So he had a huge kingdom. Verse 2, he sat on the throne of his kingdom, and Shushan was the palace. In the third year of his reign, he made a feast to all the servants. Fourth verse, he showed his riches and glorious kingdom. 84 days. So when these days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan the palace, both unto great and small, 7 days in the court of the garden of the king's palace. Was decorated with bright colors and gold. And in the seventh verse, and they gave them drink in vessels of gold, the vessels being diverse one from another, and the royal wine in abundance, according to the state of the king. And the drinking was according to the law. None did compel, for so the king had appointed to all the officers of his house that they should do according to every man's pleasure. So I guess he had plenty of wine, and they could drink as much as they wanted to. So no restrictions. Also, Vashti the queen made a feast for the women in the royal house belonged to King Ahasuerus. On the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuam and these other seven chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king to bring Vashti the queen before the king with the royal crown to show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look on. So I guess looked like they had been drunk for days. It was a big binge, looks like. So he wanted to bring his lady out and show her off to all the other drunks. But the Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's command by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. And the king said to the wise men which knew the times, for so was the king's manner toward all that knew law and judgment. So we skip down to 15. What shall we do unto Queen Vashti according to the law? Because she hath not performed the commandment of the king, assure us by the chamberlains. Mehuam answered before the king and the princes, Vashti the queen hath not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes and to all the people that are in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus. For this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women, so that they shall despise their husbands in their eyes, when it shall be reported king that King Ahasuerus commanded Vashti the queen to be brought in before him, and she came not. So all the other women are going to get the idea they don't have to do what their husband tells them. It is a little funny, but it turns bad for her. And likewise shall the ladies of Persia and Media say this day unto the king's princes, which have heard of the deed of the queen, thus shall there arise too much contempt and wrath. So it's going to cause too much trouble, all this rebelling. So they've decided that the Vashti come no more before the king Ahasuerus. Let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. And then verse 20, when the king's decree which he shall make shall be published throughout all this empire, for it is great, all the wives shall give to their husbands honor, both the great and small. So he's going to punish Vashti for, you know, for everything that can go wrong, looks like. The saying pleased the king and the princes, and the king did according to Memucan. For he sent letters unto all the king's provinces, and to every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, that every man should bear rule in his own house, and that it should be published according to the language of every people. So the woman's not going to be the head of the house. He's going to make it where all the men are in rule. And after these things, the wrath of King Ahasuerus was appeased. He remembered Vashti and what she had done and what was decreed against her. Then said the king's servants that ministered to him, let there be fair young virgins sought for the king. Let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of the kingdom, they may gather together all the fair young virgins in Shushan, the palace, to the house of the women, unto the custody of Hedge, the king's chamberlain, keeper of the women, and let their things of purification be given. And let the maiden which pleases the king be queen instead of Vashti. And this thing pleased the king, and he did so. Now in Shushan the palace was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimon, the son of Kirsh, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity, which had been carried away with Jehoiakim the king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar can't turn just one page. King of Babylon had carried away, and he brought up Hadesha, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. So it came to pass when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, when many maidens were gathered together into Shushan the palace to the custody of Haggai, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house to the custody of Haggai the keeper. The maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him, and he speedily gave her things of purification, such thing as belonged to her, and seven maidens which were meet to give him, to given her, out of the king's house. He preferred her and her maids into the best place of the house of women. Esther had not shown her people her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it. So Mordecai, of course, was a Jew, and he had told her not to tell him that she was a Jew. Mordecai walked every day before the court of the women's house to know how Esther did and what should become of her. Now, when every maid's turn was come to go in to Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months, according to the matter of the women, for so were the days of purification accomplished, 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 months with sweet odors and with other things for the purifying of the women. Thus came every man unto the king, every maiden unto the king, whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the women to the king's house. In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned into the second house of the women, to the custody of Shazagaz, the king's chamberlain, which kept the concubines. She came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in her, and that she were called by name. Now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in to the king, she required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. So Esther was taken unto the king Ahasuerus into his house royal in the 10th month, the month Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight, more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. And the king made a great feast, all the princes in service, even Esther's feast, and made a release to the provinces and gave gifts according to the state of the king. And when the virgins were gathered together the second time, Mordecai sat in the king's gate. Esther had not shown her kindred nor her people as Mordecai had charged her, for Esther did the commandment of Mordecai like as when she was brought up with him. In those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, of those which kept the door, were wroth, sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. The thing was known to Mordecai, who told it to Esther the queen, and Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. And when the inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out. Therefore, they were both hanged on a tree, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king. Now, after these things, did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Mordecai was a Jew, and he bowed to no one but God. And the king's servants which were in the king's gate said unto Mordecai, why transgressest thou the king's commandment? Now it came to pass, when they spoke daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand, for he had told them he was a Jew. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, or did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. He thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had shown him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the kingdom. Verse 8, Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people and the provinces of thy kingdom, and their laws are diverse from all people, neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore, it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasure. So Haman is going to pay the king to let him destroy all the Jews. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it to Haman, son of Hammedatha the Agagite, the Jews' enemy. The king said unto Haman, the silver is given to thee, the people also, to do with them as it seemeth good. Excuse me. Then the king's scribes were called, written according to all that Haman had commanded, all these things against the Jews. 13, verse 13, the letters were sent by post unto all the king's province to destroy, to kill, to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day. So Haman has set up the slaughter of all the Jews. He's going to just completely dispose of them. So that starting in chapter 4, when Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud voice with a bitter cry, and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed in sackcloth. And every province, wheresoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting and weeping and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. Of course, he's threatened, got a written decree from the king to kill all the Jews, so they're all pretty wrought. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it her. Then was the queen exceeding grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. Then called Esther for Hatasha, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. So Hatasha went forth to Mordecai unto the street of the city which was before the king's gate, and Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay the king's treasury for the Jews to destroy them. And he gave him a copy of the writing of the decree that was given to Shushan to destroy them, to show unto Esther and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication to him and to make request before him for her people. Hatshai came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again Esther spake unto Hatash and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's province do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come into the king's inner court who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except he such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come into the king these 30 days. So she's telling Mordecai she can't go before the king. He's not called for her. If she goes in and he doesn't hold out the golden scepter to her, she can be put to death. And they told Mordecai Esther's words. And Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews." So he thinks that they're going to be all destroyed if this is not stopped. It says, "For if thou altogether hold thy peace at this time, then shall there be enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" So, looks like Mordecai's question that maybe this is even the reason she's in the kingdom. I mean, that's the reason maybe that's the reason God made her king, a queen. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer: "Go and gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, fast for me, neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. And I also and my maidens will fast likewise. So while I go into the king, which is not according to the law, but if I perish, I perish." So she wants them to all fast and I'm sure pray with her. Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded. It came to pass on the third day, Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so, when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. So the king allowed her to come in. So then said the king unto her, "What wilt thou, Queen Esther? What is thy request? It shall even be given thee to the half of the kingdom." So he's going to give her about whatever she asks for. Esther answered and told the king and Haman to come this day unto a banquet that I have prepared. And the king said, "Cause Haman to make waste, that he may do as Esther has said." So the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared. And the king said unto Esther at the banquet of wine, "What is there thy petition shall be granted thee, and what is thy request, even half of the kingdom?" Then answered Esther and said, "My petition and my request is, if I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and form my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will do tomorrow as the king has said." Then came and went forth that day joyful, with a glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, he stood not up. Mordecai did not stand up for him or reverence him or move for him. So he was full of indignation against Mordecai. So verse 11, Haman told him of the glories, his riches, and his multitude of children, all the things he has. The king's promoted him. And verse 12, he says, even Esther, the queen, let no man come to the king at the banquet but myself. In 13, he says, yet this availeth me nothing, so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. Then said Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends unto him, let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high, and tomorrow speak thou unto the king, that Mordecai may be hanged thereon. Then go thou in merrily with the king unto the banquet. And the thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be built. Well, this gallows he's having built for Mordecai is going to be used for him. It's not going to work out too good for him. He's schemed and trying to get along in this, go up in the hierarchy, I guess. He's about second in command now. As chapter 6, on that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of the records of the chronicles. They were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthania and Teresh, two of the king's chambers, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on King Assyrus. And the king said, what honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this? So the king wants to do something for Mordecai. Then said the king's servants that ministered to him, there is nothing done for him. The king said, who is in the court? Now Haman was come into the outward court of the king's house to speak to the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared. And the king's servants said unto him, behold, Haman standeth in the court. And the king said, let him come in. So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, what shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor? Now Haman thought in his heart, to whom would the king delight to do honor more than to himself? So Haman thinks he's going to be honored. He's got a pretty big ego, so. Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delighteth to honor, let the royal apparel be brought, which the king uses to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal which is set upon his head. And let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of the one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man withal whom the king delighteth to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor. Then the king said to Haman, make haste, take the apparel and the horse and that thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew. So that's a big letdown for him, and it's not finished yet. Haman took the apparel and the horse and arrayed Mordecai and brought him horseback through the street of the city and proclaimed before him, thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor. And Mordecai came again to the king's gate, but Haman hasted to his house mourning and having his head covered. Haman told Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends everything that had befallen him. Then said his wise men, and Zeresh his wife unto him, if Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, but shalt surely fall before him. Well, they got that part right. So the king, chapter 7, so the king and Haman came to the banquet with Esther the queen. And the king said again unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine, What is thy petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? And it shall be performed, even to the half of the kingdom. But she didn't ask for half of the kingdom. Esther the queen answered and said, If I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, to perish. But if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage. So then the king's jurors answered and said unto Esther the queen, Who is he and where is he that doth presume in his heart to do so? And Esther said, The adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. So he's just now figuring out what's happened to him. The king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden, and Haman stood to make request of his life to Esther. So now he's gonna beg Esther to let him live. For he saw that evil was determined against him by the king. The king returned out of the palace garden to the place of the banquet of wine. Haman was fallen upon the bed whereon Esther was. Then said the king, Will he force the queen also before me in this house? As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. And Harbonath, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, Behold also the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman hath made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king, stand in the house of Haman. Then the king said, Hang him thereon. And they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. So we see what a great hero Esther was. She took a chance coming before the king without being invited. Mordecai never bowed before Haman or anyone else. He bows before God and not before men. But they had the courage to overcome this evil Haman, and with God's help, they did. So that's all I've got. So if anybody else wants to bring anything, thank you.